We're going to begin by reading from Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his talk, and they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully. You do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. And then supplementing this, Romans 13, we've read, but we'll do just verses 6 through 7 this time. "For the same reason you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." So, we couldn't figure out what we're talking about as we cover the authority of the civil government. Taxes, everybody's favorite subject. Well, let's pray, and we'll look at this topic. Our Father, we pray that you would give us your wisdom, your guidance, that you would help us to submit to your word, that we might do the works that you have given us to do, and so glorify and honor you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in talking about the authority of the civil government, we have just finished speaking about warfare, just war in particular. And now we come to this topic of taxation being one of the things that God has given authority to the civil government to do. So with that, let's start off with the question that is perhaps on some of your minds, but or an exclamation, if it'll move the slide. There we go. Taxation is theft. True or false? Thoughts? False dichotomy. You want to explain a bit more?
They have a right to tax you to an extent. That extent is what is the question.
All right, so there's a right to tax to an extent. So you're saying it sometimes could be true and sometimes could be false. Anyone else want to throw anything out on that?
I'm seeing you 100% with your dossier right.
How is this close, whenever he said we're talking about taxes, to being like, "You mean theft?"
Yeah. Did you have something you want to say? No.
I was just going to say it makes a good bumper sticker, though.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, Tiger is correct. It depends. Obviously, there is a line, and it's very clear, we read from these passages, God gives the power of taxation to the civil government, and he calls upon us to pay those taxes, but that doesn't mean that, therefore, every single tax that's ever been instituted by a civil government is a just and right tax. So this statement is, true or false, depending. So just taxes are not theft, but unjust taxes are, because they are a coercive confiscation of a person's property, which is, and theft doesn't necessarily need to be coercive, but certainly when it is coercive and you're taking someone's property, that is theft. And that's something that God does not smile upon. So just like war does not make murder allowable, as we covered last time, Just because someone declares war doesn't mean, therefore, now all killing under the banner of, well, it's wartime, is now legitimate. Not the case. So war does not make murder allowable, neither do taxes make theft allowable. And if we wanted a passage of scripture that highlights this for us in particular, Nehemiah chapter 5 is a passage where we see Nehemiah is upbraiding the leaders of Israel because they have been excessively taxing the people to the point where they're selling their land, sometimes they're selling themselves into slavery just because they can't meet the tax burden that's been put upon them by the leaders. And Nehemiah compels the leaders to repent and restore what they have forcefully stolen from the people. So the civil government does have a right and authority to tax, but it does not mean they are allowed to steal. So therefore, that raises the question, how do we know whether taxes are just or unjust? That gets at the heart of the question. So I want to get at this by examining sort of the question of the basis of taxation. Why would God establish the right of the civil government to tax? What would be the purpose for God giving this power to the civil government?
He's given them the authority and the duty to enact certain responsibilities.
Okay, so yeah, he's given certain responsibilities to the civil government, and you expect those things to be funded. So that's certainly the case, and even I would put, I guess, a little more specificity from the standpoint. And for the people, because the civil government is obviously not just an abstract idea or body, like people form the civil government, people do the work of the civil government. And the people who do that work have the right to be recompensed for the work that they do in service to the populace. So I would argue that just as Paul makes the argument for ministers, the basis of the government's right to tax is simply that a laborer is worthy of his hire. He's doing work. It's work for the good. It's work that we as a society have essentially contracted for them to do. And therefore, they're worthy of being recompensed for the work that they do. And then, yeah, so in keeping with that, not just the people being recompensed for the time, the energy that they're putting into it, but then also, yeah, the particular functions of it need to be funded as well. So to refresh you on Paul's arguments concerning ministers in this way that I'm applying more broadly, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 9 are the two places where Paul gives us this broad principle. So 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. So there's the general principle. Again, in that context, he's applying it to ministers. So also in 1 Corinthians 9, he's applying it to ministers. But the principle doesn't only apply to them. So 1 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through the first part of verse 12, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk? So here's the expansion of the principle, though he's going to particularize it here. Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? Does he not speak entirely for our sake? It was written for our sake because the plowman should plow in hope and the thresher should thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? So, God gives this authority to the civil government because, as servants of the people, they are doing work for the people. They are entitled to a just recompense for that work. The taxes are the wages of the civil government, so to speak. So that's the principle I'm establishing here. Any thoughts, pushback, whatnot on that?
Taxes are purely for that. Would that mean like that taxes would not go to like programs as big as Medicare or as small as like a road?
Or Ukraine.
We're going to get into this a little bit. I want to table that for just a minute. We're going to come back to it shortly. What are the viable things for this to be devoted to? Any other thoughts or questions on this idea, this principle? All right, so I think this raises an important question and one that could get me in trouble, but here we are. So if taxes are essentially the wages for the civil government for work that we as a society have called for them to do, is it ever just to withhold paying taxes?
Everyone, please turn off your cell phone.
Thoughts?
Making a list.
Yeah, turn the live stream off.
Was the Roman government acting within what its God-given job was when Jesus said to pay the taxes to them?
Was the Roman government acting within what its God-given job was? In some respects, yes. In some respects, no. Okay, so yeah, you have a government that is very imperfect, that is in some respects doing at what God has called it to, in other respects not. We still have Christ and Paul calling for the paying of taxes in this respect. Any other? I saw another hand over there. Did you want? So yeah, in general, we can't really split it up, so we shouldn't withhold. Liz?
Going off this handy-dandy list of principles of authority that I have in front of me, we must disobey any authority commanding sin. So if they're forcing us to do something that is actively encouraging sin, like if we're funding Planned Parenthood or something, we have to disobey that. But as Hannah said, we can't always know which dollars are going to which amounts. So then we have, we must submit to and obey them acting within the bounds of their authority, or we may obey or disobey according to godly judgment, God-ordained authorities acting outside of the bounds of their authority, which I feel like my godly judgment tells me that I would not be a great mom if I was in jail or dead, so I pay my taxes extremely unwillingly, but I do it, by golly.
It's a logical conclusion.
Yeah.
That's literally like the reason to pay taxes.
So it's a very good use of the principles.
Thank you.
So I also want to shift our thinking a little bit about this. The question, I would say, is not so much um, I guess it sort of is this way. I'm losing a little bit of the nuance in my own formulating the question. I guess the question is, yeah, more is the civil government doing the work, is it in violation of the purposes for which it has its power and authority or not? Not so much, is it particularly dotting every I, crossing every T with what it's doing, with what the funds it's receiving are going to. To answer the question, is it ever just to withhold paying taxes? Yes. Yes, it is just in some circumstances to withhold paying taxes. Certainly, if the tax itself is an unjust tax, as we're going to get into what unjust taxes, which taxes are unjust taxes or not, and we'll ask the question so you can be thinking about that, what taxes would fall under that category. An unjust tax is not one we are obligated to pay. Again, as you were mentioning, there are consequences for not paying an unjust tax, and it may be the better course to say, I'm going to pay it anyway, even though I'm not obligated before God to pay an unjust tax. But also, if the civil government is fundamentally in violation of what its charter is, what its covenant is, what its responsibilities are, then by the same principle of if you have a worker who fundamentally is not doing his work, he is, you've contracted with him, this is the work that he has to do, and he's just not doing it, well, he's not worthy of his pay at that point. He's not someone that you have to give the money to because he's just hasn't done his job. And so, if we have a civil government, and this would be, I guess, similarly along the principles of when we talk about something like the American Revolution and the basis, if you're setting up a new government, part of what's going on is like, well, you're not paying taxes to the old one that you are saying is in violation of the mandate, the agreement by which they are to rule, and instead you're going to set up a new system where taxes will be paid, but to those who are actually going to fulfill the purposes of the civil government, not to those who have been in utter violation of it. So there are times when it is just to withhold paying taxes, but yeah, it's not a thing lightly to do. And here's where I want to come back to Nate's question a little bit. I would say also in light of the previous principle. We talked about a little bit there are limits on what authority can be delegated to particular bodies. So we can't just, though we're delegating authority to the civil government, it doesn't mean we can delegate any and every authority that we have and decide they can take whatever they want. At the same time, if we are going by this principle that the civil government is essentially our employee that receives wages for its work, I would say insofar as the people have rightly or wrongly delegated particular works, particularly authority to the civil government, they are obliged to pay for what work they have called them to do. So it doesn't mean that this is a right thing that's been delegated to them, but if you're calling them to do the work and they're doing the work, then that is something that should be funded, perhaps then reformed and no longer called upon for them to be doing the work. But nonetheless, if we're following the principle of the idea that you hire somebody to do work, you pay them for the work that you've hired them to do. And if you're the one who's made a mistake in giving them a job that they shouldn't have, that's not their fault. They're still doing the work. Then you fix it, But anyway.
You're saying that people who send their kids to public school can't complain about property tax.
No, I'm not exactly saying that. I'm not exactly saying.
But I mean, that's part of it. Like, they don't like paying the taxes for it, but that's what's paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets into a slightly different question. So what I am saying is, insofar as we as a society have rightly or wrongly, and based on what we said previously, I would say wrongly, delegated to the civil government the authority to educate, and they are doing it, it is our responsibility to pay for that. Now, how it gets paid for, who from the populace pays for it, those are further more nuanced questions. But as that's part of the agreement, that is part of the work that's being done, there does need to be some funding for it, is what I'm arguing. But yeah, the way that tax is levied is where I could say there could be a complaint still. All right. So, with this in mind, what kind of taxes fit the principles that we've covered? What kind of taxes are a just tax? Or what principles should govern the way taxation is done? Any thoughts on that?
Well, our days are all kind of bundled together, so it's kind of hard to split them up. So I'm going to pay this one, I'm going to pay this one. You know, we pay them all together in our income tax, mostly. You know, there's property tax, but sales tax, which, you know, not by sales. It's really hard to split out what tax you are and aren't going to pay.
Are you referring to general categories like sales income?
Yeah, that's part of definitely what I'm. Yeah.
Death tax, absolutely not. Take that one away. Sales tax, I think, is the most appropriate one because there's some interstate commerce that is appropriate within a large country or any even small country, but the government can. As a role that it plays, we could argue appropriately, and so sales tax would be a part of making sure that economy is moving forward.
So, and the next question is, what doesn't fit under this category? So I can kind of tackle both of them at the same time if we want. So you're saying death tax, inheritance tax perhaps as well, is out?
Same thing.
But sales tax, you think, is valid? Any other thoughts?
If we go, I don't know if this is an appropriate application or not, but if we think about the way tithing is done, the way we pay our authorities in the church is through that 10% is what is talked about. Is it appropriate to then apply that and say that taking a percentage of our income to pay for the authorities of the government would be an appropriate way of paying tax? So income tax is...
It's a good question, and one that's been debated in many ways. Let's discuss the propriety of an income tax or not, and whether or not tithe is a principle that can be applied in these circumstances.
Governor Perry was famous for, when he was running for president, saying that we needed a postcard. A simplified income tax on a postcard, 10%, we're not going to take more than what God requires, and that's what the income tax setup should be.
And what happened to that?
He didn't get elected.
And let's be honest, he didn't put millions of government employees out of
bad
idea. So.
Yeah. I've always been a fan of that.
Is the only tax that is specifically said in the Old Testament to go to
Yes, that is the only, I guess, the only tax in the law. We find taxes, for example, levied by the Judean kings for public works, like the temple and the building of their palace. So those are taxes that are that go to the civil government, but are not necessarily legislated in the Torah.
So and that was a set amount. It was a poll tax, which meant men, every male 20 years and older paid one flat rate, and that was the whole tax.
Yes.
Prescribed in the law.
Yes.
Well, God got it right. Let's do that.
So that's an argument against a percentage of their income.
Another argument against the percentage of income would be, what is the purpose of the tithe? The whole tithe did not go specifically to funding the church. It went to funding the church, as well as taking care of the widows in the area, as well as taking care of the Levites, as well as taking care of what would be your class doctors, because your Levites were your doctors, and healthcare workers, and all that. So it would not be the same to apply the percentage.
Well, insofar as the government takes care of all those things now, then right, that's...
it's not the government's job. Currently, we don't have a reason to complain because we voted that in. That doesn't mean we have the right to do it.
Yeah.
There's also the question of, income. Many people are not making their own income. They're getting income from the government in the first place. So then to turn around and say, give some of this, it's like a circle that just, the money just keeps going in a circle.
True.
Whereas every single time I think about you guys paying tithe, I'm like, I wonder what amount like just circles back and forth. Anyways, but like, we have so many people that are on welfare that if we made it a percentage of your income, I'm sure they would exclude income from disability, Social Security, whatever else, so like they would pay nothing. And whereas we said this is a set amount that you have to work to earn, and then if you legitimately cannot work to earn it, you're 85 years old, like you aren't going to have a job, then there's, options for that. But I think it would be an incentive for people that are able-bodied to actually get out and get a job.
Okay.
And this is from someone who does not believe in taxes. So let's really, I'm not.
She's struggling with the whole concept.
Just anecdotal about government taxation. But when I was in the service, I'm getting paid off of everybody's income tax. And then I paid income tax on my income. It was derived from income tax. It's all double tax.
Well, everything's double taxed, right? Never mind. I'm sorry.
So I want to build on a couple of these ideas. Tiger mentioned looking at what the tithe was for. And I think also just looking at what, again, the principle of what's the basis, what's the establishment of taxation for the civil government. Again, it is essentially payment for the work that they are called to do. It is their wages for that. So that as a principle eliminates certain kinds of taxes, such as a percentage of income. They don't have a right to a percentage of your income. That implies that they have some sort of claim to our productivity, our labor, something along those lines. No, they have a right to the funding for what it is that they're doing, and that needs to be within the bounds of should be within proper bounds. So such as things like courts. Maintaining of courts, those who are doing those duties, military expenses. These would be like the two particular main functions of civil government that are called for taxes to fund. But the idea that they can just set sort of any number, they can do a percentage. The other problem with the percentage is that it gives the, and it essentially, in principle, makes those who are paying more have more of an interest in the Commonwealth. They almost become greater citizens than those who are paying less. Oh, the government almost never is actually paying that back. But then we do see this, as this principle sort of works out, not so much in taxation, but those who do have means then seeking to manipulate the civil government in order for them to be able to get tax breaks, in order for them to be able to find ways to influence. But they're paying to play. Like they're paying on the front end to avoid paying more on the back end in order to be able to make more. There's still a means by which the amount of money you have is essentially making you a more privileged citizen in this regard, or more responsible for the work of the Commonwealth. A flat tax recognizes the truth that the civil government is for the betterment of the entire society equally, and the basis is on just the fact that we are equal citizens in the society, and that would be a more just way to reflect that reality. Did you have?
If it was a poll tax, would that be a way of buying citizenship? Just a right to vote, et cetera?
A way of buying citizenship?
Sure, so buying the right to vote, buying a say in civil matters versus if you're somebody who. So
if you're not paying taxes, you don't have a right to, you don't have rights as a citizen, essentially. I think that's essentially the principle. That's the idea behind taxation, kind of at its heart. Yeah. That those who are citizens are the ones who have come together to form a society and a compact by which they need a civil government and are delegating the principle. Delegating this to that, and so they are the ones who should be paying, and those who aren't paying shouldn't have a say in the way that functions.
With that, should it be every individual or
Should it be every individual or heads of households? I don't think there's necessarily a mandate for it to be one or the other. I think certainly the principle we have in Scripture is, you mentioned, every male above 20 years old is the ones who are counted. So not all of those are heads of household, but that's the text that we have given there. I think heads of household can be good in that you're recognizing sort of the the economic unit of the household, and giving an equal weight there to those who are participating. But I don't have a solid argument against why others shouldn't be allowed to have a voice in that regard, and therefore be taxed in that regard as well. Yeah, it's not so much it wouldn't so much be you don't vote, therefore you don't have to pay taxes.
Can I just reject it all, not have to pay the tax, and just let the head of the household be the one who deals with it?
Sounds like an advocate responsibility.
No, I'm being a submissive wife, you guys.
So let's consider a few particular taxes that I think are valid taxes. Occasional taxes. So for example, the civil government is declaring a just war. They need money. for paying the people who are going to war, for executing the war. Instituting a tax for that purpose would be good and right. It is part of the work that they've been called to do. It's specifically targeted at that. I would also say it would be just in that regard for those who are serving in the war to be exempt from this tax. Certainly, and they're putting their lives on the line, and they're the ones who are doing the work. There should be the recipients of the tax, not receiving the income tax, then paying the income tax on what they're receiving. So war in that regard, the example I gave before, though, we're going to probably get into in future weeks whether or not this is a valid use of government authority, but public works, insofar as that's what the civil government is doing by the by the people asking them to do it, a particular tax for those public works would be that kind of thing. Also, I'm going to give a nuance to what you said about sales tax. I think customs and tariffs on imports are valid taxes. It's recognizing sort of the same principle you're talking about, but it's more like you're allowing something outside to enter into the community and have purchase be allowable. And it's part of the government, the civil government's job to protect the citizenry. So they're vetting this, they're looking at this, they're establishing, and it's just, now many would argue it's not good or wise, like it messes with the free market, and I'm willing to stipulate all of that. But at the very least, it is just for the civil government to say, because of the work that we need to do, because we are allowing this external goods to come in to tax those goods that are coming in. Also, I think something like an immigration tax in this regard would be valid, as you're allowing people who are you're allowing outsiders to come into your and be a part of your society. That would be a valid tax in those regards. So I say that as opposed to sales tax. The sales tax essentially, it says the civil government has the right to gain from the marketplace. It has some sort of claim on, and that I do not believe that they have the right for that. They don't have an interest in it. Like they're, and in a certain sense, they're providing order so that the marketplace can exist. But that would be true for that would essentially give them the right to tax anything because they're providing order for anything to exist and be in that regard, and that's still just not.
Wouldn't the marketplace exist even without the government?
Yes. And technically, yeah. The marketplace will exist necessarily. I guess it's for the marketplace to be peaceful and whatnot. So yeah, sorry. Not civil government isn't necessary for the marketplace to exist. That's true. That's true.
When you have a government that just money
or
will or whatever they want, doesn't that make all taxes irrelevant?
Well, there is that. Yeah. Why? Well, it's one of the most unjust taxes is just printing money with fiat currency. It is a form of theft. You're stealing from the wealth of the people by doing that. Yeah. Well, and also the present generation, like this year, and the value of the dollar today and what our buying power is today, it has been very negatively affected by the printing that's going on now. Yeah.
Granted, we live in a time where no one saves, so.
That's not true. So there's a list.
Okay, next time. few of us, let's say.
Most of the people in this group.
Here, all
yeah.
here.
In this room, yeah.
Drew,
the list of 97 taxes that Americans pay, can we give you homework and you just go through that list
like
tax fail?
I second the motion.
And name it on the White House like another time.
Yeah. Oh.
Can we go
on
a field trip?
We're
going to
have dinner. We're
going
to bring you up.
Sounds great.
To complicate the sales tax conversation and draw in another tax, the only theory that has any legs in this state for the removal of a tax, removal of property taxes, is the idea of an elevated consumption tax to replace that. So if you can pull away one that we would argue is unjust, then, you know, again, this is a debate about degrees, not,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, consumption tax is better than a property tax. And that gets into what kind of taxes don't fit the principles we've covered. Property tax, income tax, inheritance tax, all unjust. They assume that the civil government has a just claim on your property and labor, or on your life in a very, very real sense. They do not. And they are servants of God, but also servants of the people. Your income is yours. Your property is yours. They do not have the right to steal these things from you. Many times they exercise that invented right that they claim to have, but this is against God's word, God's law. For the same reason, a progressive tax that taxes some more than others based on their ability to pay is unjust. The government does not have a right to the wealth, the possessions of any individual. To the same degree, it is unjust for the government to redistribute wealth, to take taxes in order to pay it to other private individuals, as though they are the ones who should be deciding who has enough and who doesn't and should be rectifying that. All of these things are a violation of the purpose for which God has given them the ability to tax. I think sales tax also runs afoul of this because it gives the government an economic claim on its citizens that it does not properly have, but still not as bad as the other ones that we just mentioned. And that's all I have for taxes, and we're just about out of time, but if we do have 1 minute if anyone wants a comment or a question.
Just time for prayer.
Where's all that Texas lottery money that's supposed to be funding all this stuff? Where's that going?
Get rid of the lottery.
Where's all... I think a lot of... As I understand it, a lot of lottery money goes to public schools, but I...
It's a shell game. They take the lottery money and put it there, and then they take the other money away from the school.
I haven't looked into what they're doing with a lottery. But should the civil government be holding lotteries? No.
No.
Delegate that authority to
them. Yeah. Yeah. We should not. But we have.
So, and in theory, if we were to be able to abolish a property tax that pays for public education, the battle wouldn't be over yet. We should still push for the government completely releasing education. So it's not just a wallet issue, it's a principle issue, but it's not their job. They shouldn't have a hand in it. They need to walk away.
That would be my argument, yeah, based on these principles.
So. I think your comment on fully delegated authority is really key, and that to change the tax issues is where we really need to continue building up that kind of parallel institution.
Yeah. Yeah, and the government, the civil government, particularly in our nation, has not always been Leviathan, has not always been, had its tentacles and everything affecting everything. That's a rather recent, and to certain degrees, it's progressively gotten more and more over time, but particularly in the 20th century. The needs of society, by and large, were done by private individuals or groups coming together and seeing needs, taking care of them, and that's something that we need to reestablish if we would see the government pushed out of these areas again, because sadly what happened is we wrongfully delegated that to the government and then stopped doing the other means. And so people don't see another route. And it's incumbent upon us to actually be doing the work that has been given us to do. All right, let's pray and we'll go. Our Father, we do thank you that you have ordered the world according to your wisdom. We pray that you would help give us the mind of Christ to receive your word, to act in accordance with it. We pray that you would strengthen our hands to do the works that you have called us to do in serving you and serving our neighbor. We desire to see these unjust means and unjust ways that the government is being executed alleviated, but we pray that you would make us a righteous people to enable us to do this. We pray that you would bless us as we come to service today. Fill us with your Spirit that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, that we may testify to the glory of your name. We do pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.